Hello, iterative marketers. Welcome to the Iterative Marketing Podcast, where each week we give marketers and entrepreneurs actionable ideas, techniques, and examples to improve your marketing results. If you want notes and links to the resources discussed on the show, sign up to get them emailed to you each week at iterativemarketing.net. There you'll also find the Iterative Marketing blog and our community LinkedIn group where you can share ideas and ask questions of your fellow iterative marketers. Now let's dive into the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Iterative Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Robinson, and with me, as always, is the smooth but not sneaky Elizabeth Aaron. How are you doing today, Elizabeth?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great. Anything new in your world these days?
Oh, yes. This morning, I downloaded my latest obsession. So for those of you that do not know, I am a bit of a Broadway fan. In fact, I went to New York one weekend with my sister and we saw four shows in one weekend. So like most of America who is, you know, familiar with Broadway at all, I am obsessed with Hamilton. And I just downloaded the Hamilton soundtrack this morning and I want to listen to it, but it's not really background music because there's a whole story there. And so while I love work, I'm kind of counting down the hours until I'm done so that I can put my soundtrack on and just nerd out to some Hamilton. Do you know what Hamilton is? Are you awesome. Familiar with this?
I am familiar with Hamilton, the production. I have not really read a whole lot about it. Obviously, I haven't been to see it, so I don't know a ton about the storyline or the music, but I'm excited for you.
Well, if there's anyone out there who's looking for a marketing speaker in New York, I'd love to come because then I could get some Hamilton in, so, you know. Email me, let me know. And I also do not recommend sharing this with children. My nephew is a huge history buff, and I thought, how fun, something we can share together, but it's not exactly PG, so not going to happen.
Got it. Well, this is a PG podcast, so since we can't talk about that, what are we going to talk about today?
Today, we're going to talk about new creative or new program and what the difference between them is and how you know which one you need to make a change to.
And we're talking about this today because this is something that we've actually struggled with here at Brilliant Metrics as we've worked with clients, right?
It is. You know, it's hard to know where the edges of one program and another program begin. And so, and also kind of how the creative changes work within those programs and within the iterative marketing process as a whole.
Yeah, and it's also important to talk about because I think that how iterative marketing handles creative changes is one of the biggest benefits of running an iterative marketing program. So if you are simply changing out creative on schedule, you introduce waste, and you introduce waste on one of two angles. You're either wasting your creative production resources because you are creating creative before it's really needed, or you're wasting your media and your audience's attention because you're delivering creative that's already stale. By optimizing the timing of your creative delivery, you're able to help on both fronts.
Mm-hmm. And we get questions about this a lot because most of our clients and people that are new to the iterative marketing process, they're coming in from that more of that traditional campaign thinking. And so, you know, programs take a step away from that. It's a very different mindset that we're getting into. And so we do get a lot of questions about that and why we thought this was appropriate to talk about now. And so in today's podcast, we're going to talk about when we do a creative refresh within a program versus starting a new program. And we're going to start by tackling what a program is and what a creative change is. And then we're going to get into when it's a new program versus when it's a creative change, as well as the metrics that you need in place to measure that creative change or when it's time for a creative change.
So I think that's a great, we'll jump right in. What is a program? How have we defined a program in the context of iterative marketing?
So we've defined it as an intersection of a defined objective for a defined audience with no definitive end. And I love this because for me, it's so clear. Defined objective, defined audience, no definitive end.
So for example, if you were a dating site, you could have one program that is focused on recruiting women and another program that's focused on recruiting men. In that instance, you're audience might change between the two programs, but your objective is the same. You're still trying to get more singles on the site.
Another example, when we're talking B2C, is if you're a nonprofit, you might have one program designed to get your core audience to donate money and another to get them to donate time. And again, in this instance, we have the same audience, but now we're asking, or we're trying to achieve different objectives.
On the B2B side, you could have the example of if you're a company that sells time management software, you could have one program targeting healthcare, the healthcare industry, another one targeting the insurance industry, where you're going to have two very divergent audiences with different needs. But ultimately, customer acquisition is the same objective in both cases.
Another example of a same audience but different objectives on the B2B side is actually something that we're doing, and we're in the process of launching a program to recruit agencies that will help us in spreading the word about iterative marketing, while we're also looking to identify agencies that want to partner with us on the Brilliant Metrics side to help add value to their clients. So again, same audience, agencies, but two very different objectives.
And it's not just, you know, you're not just limited to two programs. I mean, an organization could have only one program because they really only have one core audience that they're working with, and customer acquisition is the name of the game. Or you could break things out further. So for example, you know, I've done some work in the past with healthcare organizations. You might have one program that's working on recruiting patients that are, you know, young families, and you're really trying to grow the pediatric practice. And then at the same time, you've got another program that's working on trying to get more of an older generation in for, you know, cardiac programs and other things like that. And maybe a third program that's entirely different, that's focused on getting your new mothers in for OB and the birthing center. You know, very different, very, very specific audience with a specific outcome.
So in each of the examples that we just gave, the objectives are not tied to the creative or to the big idea. The objectives are tied to the bigger picture, what it is that we're trying to achieve and support the business overall.
Exactly, exactly. So if that's what a program is, and that's what makes a program a program, what is a creative change? When is it just changing out creative within a program?
So a creative change is when the bones of the program stay the same, but the content that we're using in the program changes. And so it's going to be the same tactics are going to be used to support the delivery of that content. And we're going to use the same metrics to measure the success of that content. It's just the actual content, the actual creative is changing out.
And we change that content because the data tells us that it's time, right? The data is telling us it's no longer effective. We've saturated this audience with this creative, and it's not doing whatever we decided that creative needed to do.
And this is really, you know, where it ties into the campaign thinking versus programs.
Exactly, because we're separating the idea of creative from the idea of the program that is using that creative, right? So your creative is one thing, your program is another thing, and the two can be worked on independently. And we'll talk a little bit later about how to recognize exactly when that timing is right to move that creative out and move new creative in. But for right now, just know that's the mechanics of that.
So for a content marketing program with regular blog posts, you could be changing your creative out once a week or more than once a week. It really depends on what those metrics that we're going to talk about later say.
Whereas for an outbound, more of a traditional paid media type of advertising program, sometimes creative can run for years. I can think of an example where I was working again with a healthcare organization, with that objective of recruiting new moms to their birthing center. Now, if you think about it, a new mom is only in market for a birthing center once every, year and a half at most, more like 2 to 3 years. So in that instance, they're going to be blind to any content that is targeting that think or do stage outside of that window. And so you can keep the same think and do state creative running for 1 to 2 years at a time before you see any drop in effectiveness, because you're constantly changing the audience that's tuned into that content. And that's exactly what we saw. We were able to run the same creative for a very long time with the same degree of effectiveness based on the metrics.
And there are other markets that have, you know, a similar situation like that, where your audience is limited. You know, buying siding, not something you do very often. Buying wedding rings, hopefully not something you do very often. Those types of things, those types of purchases that may only be happening once in a lifetime, or maybe even, you know, once every few years.
The key is that the creative is changing because the creative isn't working. So if it is working, you keep it out there. If it's not working, then you swap it out. But when you swap it out, you keep everything else the same. So that includes the targeting, the distribution, the measurement, the optimizations. Your goal is to keep all of that stuff, if not the same, as close to the same as you possibly can.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note, you know, we've said that your distribution and measurement are going to stay the same, but any format changes in content may require small changes in distribution and measurement. And we're going to get into this a little bit later, but if you had a white paper and now you're switching over to video, how you're delivering that and how you're measuring that is going to change. But again, you're trying to keep those changes down to a minimum, and what makes sense for the content that you're using and your program objectives.
So I think now is a great time for us to take a quick break. So why don't we take a couple minutes and talk about how we can help some people?
Before we continue, I'd like to take a quick moment to ask you iterative marketers a small but meaningful favor and ask that you give a few dollars to a charity that's important to one of our own. This week's charitable cause was sent in by Naruse Dooley from Doubleberry. Naruse asks that you make a contribution to Teen Challenge, an organization dedicated to providing youth, adults, and families with life-controlling problems the opportunity to become established through faith-based mentoring, education, and job training. Learn more at teenchallengeonline.com or visit the link in the show notes. If you would like to submit your cause for consideration for our next podcast, please visit iterativemarketing.net/podcast and click the Share a Cause button. We love sharing causes that are important to you.
And we're back. So before the break, we've got kind of in depth as to what a creative change was, what a program was. So when exactly is it a creative change versus a program?
So if we go back to our definition of a program, which is the intersection of a defined objective for a defined audience with no definitive end, it would require, for the program to change, it would require that either our objective or our audience has to change. And so if we are changing who we're targeting, or we're changing what it is we're trying to accomplish, and we're not talking about downloading a white paper, we're talking about overall program objectives, then it's time for a program change. But if those are staying the same, if your objective and your audience have not changed, then it becomes a creative, and a creative change occurs, as we said before, where the bones of the program are staying the same, but the creative or the content being delivered is changing. That's when it's a creative change versus a program change.
And can the bones of a program change?
Yes. And, you know, we touched on this earlier. This is part of the iterative process. And it's a little bit off topic from what we're talking about today. And I believe we're going to address this in a future podcast. But as your program matures, you should not only be experimenting with creative, but also experimenting with the tactics that support that creative, so that you're continuously working towards continuous improvement and always making that program better.
And when we talk about making one of those changes, when we talk about changing those bones, we call that a program update. And it's very different from changing creative, because now you are updating the mechanics of how that program works. So you still have the same audience, you still have the same objective, but how you accomplish that objective with that audience is going to change beyond just the content that's involved.
So that leads to a question. Could a creative change cause a program update?
So you're talking about an instance where, like, the old creative was a graphic and the new creative is now a video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that can happen. And the last thing we want to have happen is the iterative marketing process to stifle creativity. So part of that is giving your creative resources the flexibility to think outside of the constraints of whatever's running right now. And that means possibly changing mediums. And when you do that, that may necessitate making some tweaks to how you're delivering that creative. You're not going to be able to use exactly the same channels to deliver video that you were able to deliver a static image. You're also going to have to change your measurements slightly, because you're not going to be able to measure everything in exactly the same way. So yes, that can happen. You want to be mindful about it, and you want to make sure that you update your measurement to match. But at the same time, you don't want to stifle creativity for the sake of being rigid and staying within the confines of the program.
But again, just to reiterate, this is a program update and not a new program, because the audience and objective have not changed. It's just the mechanics that have changed.
Exactly. And I think we definitely need a podcast on the topic of program updates or program expansion, because that's something that we really haven't addressed to the extent that we should have in the past. So we'll have to get that on the schedule and make sure we get that out.
So we mentioned earlier that a creative change should happen because the existing creative is no longer effective. But how do you do that? How do you know when it's time to make a change to creative?
Well, before we get into exactly how you know, I think it's important to note that there's actually, two distinct types of creative. When we talk about creative, you have branding creative, where the objective of the creative is really to reinforce the brand, to keep that brand top of mind, attach the brand to some emotional feeling or concept, but not trying to evoke any sort of, response that's measurable in the audience. Whereas direct response creative is really focused on driving an action within your audience. It's a lot easier to know when your direct response creative is stale, when it's time to make a change there, because you're really going to be able to know that based on measuring the response to the direct response creative.
So if you're measuring the response rate of the creative over time and you're performing experiments and optimizations like you should be under the iterative methodology, then you're going to produce a graph that looks something like a half pipe. Do you want to go into a little bit more detail on that, Steve?
Yeah. So this is hard because we're audio, right? So how do you explain this visual? But if you can picture a graph, along the x-axis, the bottom, you have over time. So as we move to the right, we're progressing through time. And then on the y-axis, we have the effectiveness of the program. So this could be the conversion rate, or it could be the cost per action, right? And depending on which way you have it, the half pipe flips. So we'll look at it from a cost per action, where we're trying to drive down that cost. So drive down the cost per lead or the cost per sale or something along those lines. At first, you're going to be flat because you're not going to your optimizations aren't going to have taken any effect yet. So you're going to just be gathering data, trying to get a baseline for how well does this creative perform. And then you're going to start implementing the changes that you're learning from your experiments. And you're going to drive down that cost per action. So now you see a steep decline in your cost per lead or your cost per sale as you start to implement your optimizations. But over time, you're going to hit some diminishing returns on those optimizations. And for two reasons. One, it gets harder to find those really great optimizations as you've run longer. And two, your audience starts to saturate. And so there's a finite number of people within your target audience to see your ad. And as they've seen this, or whatever creative it is, whether it's some other format, but there's a finite audience to see your creative, and it's going to eventually saturate. Everybody who has seen the creative that is going to take action on the creative will have taken action on the creative at some point. And that's where your half pipe starts to bottom out. And at some point, it starts to go the other direction. Because now there's a smaller and smaller and smaller subset of the audience left to take action on the ad. And you're really the only people that are taking action are the people who have generally moved within their customer journey to the point where now it's time for them to take action. That's when you need to start considering making a change. And so that's where, if you're looking at the half pipe, we go flat, then we have a steep decline, and then we start to climb back up. Eventually, that the slope of that line, as it starts to creep back up, starts to get steep. And that's when it's time to swap out the creative and start the next optimization process on the next set of creative.
And our listeners may be wondering, at what point in that slope, do you know when it's time to switch out creative? Because we don't want to switch it out too early. There's costs associated with that, but we don't want to leave it in market too long. And so it really depends on what you're comfortable with, how long you can leave that, for better word, stale creative in market without negatively impacting your brand. as you've been reviewing your data, this is something that you're going to be able to, you'll have a better understanding of. You'll know when it's feeling wrong. And I know that doesn't sound very scientific, but as you're reviewing the data, it's going to become clear. You may have a cost in mind that you don't want it to get above or below a certain point. Or you may have other indicators that from within your brand make sense, and that's what you're going to be looking for. And we see this with clients all the time. In fact, we had a client that we work with who had an industry white paper out there that was targeted at Think State. And we started to see diminishing returns after a few months of being in market. And so we pulled the creative. And new creative was in progress, but not quite ready at that point. So we had some brand ads that were in market that were running at the same time. And that kind of helped fill that gap until we were able to get that new content out, which was a comparison tool, again, targeted at that Think State that was compelling and of enough interest to this audience that we kept that momentum going for the brand.
And it was a hard call because that new creative wasn't ready yet. And there was a lot of back and forth of, is it the right time? Is now the time? And at the end of the day, you looked at the numbers and you looked at the trajectory of where this was going. And yes, it was definitely the time to pull that creative, even though the new creative wasn't quite ready yet. And we had to fill that space with some brand advertising.
And I think that's where our reporting, makes it a little bit easier to make that decision because we all have limited budgets and we all have limited resources. And so to know that you're seeing diminishing returns, I think it makes it easier for, I know in our experience with our clients to be able to say, yes, it's time to pull that creative because they know that that may not actually be the best way to spend those marketing dollars at that point in time.
This does mean that, to be most effective, you can't wait until that time to start producing the next creative. You really need to always have something waiting in the wings, ready for when the creative that you're running runs its course so that you can swap that out with the next thing. And in the case of this client, we weren't quite ready yet, and that'll happen. But if you can be on top of it and have something waiting in the wings, it's definitely the best way to go.
And I think that's a really great point. And I want to touch on it again because we don't know how long this creative is going to run. Again, we've stepped away from that big campaign thinking of we're going to run it from X to Y. We don't know when we're going to start seeing those diminishing returns. So it is important to have that ready to go so that we don't have to have a break in content.
Yeah, breaks in content, short ones aren't that big of a deal, but a long break in content, if you're waiting for that next piece of direct response, can be really detrimental to your efforts because now you are really limited in the types of experiments you can run because you aren't getting that feedback of your audience responding to that direct response creative. You're also not refreshing any cookie pools or first-party data or building your database. All of that stuff sort of goes on hold while you're waiting for that creative refresh as well. And you're not able to gather insights about your audience either with your experiments because, again, you're not getting that feedback loop. So you really want to avoid certainly big gaps. Short gaps happen because, it's a bit unpredictable how long it's going to take some creative to run its course.
And so I think would you say that the cookie pools and the length that those pools are active, that's something to keep in mind as you're considering your new creative and how long your brand can go between new creative?
Yeah, a lot of times if you're heavily relying on first party data, from an advertising standpoint, you'll find that, for example, Facebook limits any custom audiences to 180 days. So if you take an audience that you're working with and trying to nurture and grow and stay in front of, and you don't give them a reason to click on anything for 180 days, that audience goes poof, goodbye. And that can be really detrimental to your efforts.
Definitely. All that hard work that you've done the months leading up to it have kind of gone by the wayside.
So to sum up for today, I think there's a couple of points that are really important. First, there are really three types of changes when it comes to a program. You can throw out the whole program and start a new one. In that case, you're looking at changing your audience or your objective, right? So that's when one program ends and another program begins. You can introduce new creative, and that's where the bones or the mechanics of the program stay the same, but the content that's flowing through that program to your audience might change. And then finally, there's this program update idea that we didn't dive into completely in the context of this podcast, but we will in a future episode, I promise. And that's where your mechanics change. So your objective and your audience are the same, but now we're going to change the tactics, the measurement, exactly how we get that audience to their goal.
And I think the last takeaway here that I want to make sure our listeners are walking away with is that the data is going to drive these creative updates. We're not going off of our gut. We're not going off of, you know, it just feels like it has run its course or it feels like it should be out there longer. We're going to make that decision based on what the data is saying and what that half pipe chart looks like.
So I think that's a wrap for this week. I want to thank everybody for making time for us this week yet again. And until next week, onward and upward.
If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube or your favorite podcast directory. If you want notes and links to resources discussed on the show, sign up to get them emailed to you each week at iterativemarketing.net. There, you'll also find the Iterative Marketing blog and our community LinkedIn group where you can share ideas and ask questions of your fellow iterative marketers. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our username is at @ITER8IVE. Or email us at podcast@iterativemarketing.net. The Iterative Marketing Podcast is a production of Brilliant Metrics, a consultancy helping brands and agencies rid the world of marketing waste. Our producer is Heather Ullman with transcription assistance from Emily Bechtel. Our music is by Seastock Audio Music Production and Sound Design. You can check them out at seastockaudio.com. We'll see you next week. Until then, onward and upward.